Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 25th of April, recording at 9:18 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, first, the highlights. Global stock markets, not dead yet, but, well, looking a little frayed at the cuff here, some of these uptrends. And mostly a little bit easier in here today. Government bonds, more important story. Big hits in here today. U.S. bonds trading after hours down a full point. That's the long bond. And we had big hits in gilts and bunds in here today. I have shorts, as you may recall, in the 30-year treasuries, the gilts, and the bunds, and I increased my bund short in here today by 50%. I have been stopped out in my, I was earlier I had been, not today, but in the last few days I had been stopped out of my JGB short. I was tempted to reopen that in here today, but it looked a little stretched on the on the chart. I suspect it was a mistake not to have reopened it. I mean, yes, it could rally up a little bit as it did, just enough to stop out my short positions at a modest profit. But the big move, I maintain, is on the downside. And actually, although I've been very, very conservative in establishing my short positions, hey, this was supposed to be the introduction, but I'll just finish. Well, I've been very conservative. They're turning out to be a nice little earner in here. I'll just play the trends while this particular run continues. And it's still early days yet in terms of the big picture outlook, but early days are the choppy, trickier days in terms of timing, usually. In terms of the U.S. dollar, generally weak. And this is interesting. I'll have more to say about that shortly. Precious metals, good action in here today. I was worried this morning when I got up that I might have been stopped out in some of my higher gold stops, but fortunately not. And gold's currently up about $10.50 as I speak. And even silver, where I was hasty in my purchases yesterday, but that's had a nice rebound here today. And I, excuse me, in a, well, I was going to say safe rather than sorry, but a little bit late for that, given my, I'm premature buying, even though it was only three baby steps bites, but I took the precaution of taking a profit on my lowest purchase, and I have orders above. I'm going to trade silver lightly relative to positions I've had in previous years, but actively, I think, in this environment overall. Provided we don't get stock markets tanking, and if they look frayed at the cuff, that's no problem, but if they show signs of tanking, my fear over a possible cascade effect would prevent me from, what would cause me to cut back further. And again, other precious, pretty firm in here as well. Industrial metals, boom, boom. Everything but lead. Now, lead's the one that I opened a position in early, was it yesterday or Friday? Can't remember. And lead's very much the laggard, one of the reasons why I liked it. The things like copper are still booming away, but that's kind of a psychologically stressful one. But the whole history in these industrial metals, they'll mess around, and then they take off. And I would not expect lead to be an exception to that, so I don't mind holding it here quietly while it underperforms. I suspect when it does play catch up, it'll be fairly explosive. But I don't have a big position there overall, though it's one that I might I would certainly increase, but I'll probably only do that from strength. One of the reasons for that is I've got my substantial gold position, and also a fairly, well, no, that's mainly at the substantial gold position, and I'm going to use silver as a trading vehicle once again. Now, oil, a little bit easier in here today, 72.75, and natural gas, disappointing. It's come back down into the bottom area that we saw last month and earlier this month. But it's probably cheap down here overall, given the generally firm tone of resources. Okay, global stock markets, I'd be a little bit careful in here, as I've said before. That's the way I feel at any rate. Incidentally, I was stopped out of my Hong Kong Hang Seng index for a very small profit here. It was a very tight stop, and then I'm risk averse in here at this time. But given the valuation, given the overall pattern, if Hong Kong doesn't turn around and move back higher fairly soon, well, I think if Hong Kong doesn't do well here in this environment, then not many other markets are going to as well. But overall, the bulls are still in charge, but I've already said it, risky. Riskier time. That doesn't mean we need to pile out of stock markets. I'm quite prepared to ride out a few corrections because I don't think we'll see more than corrections. In other words, I'm not expecting a major meltdown. Some people are talking about a major meltdown, but I don't think the valuations are such as to lead to that type of development. But I don't want to be complacent. Therefore, I'm not putting new money into the stock market. One thing I am going to do, though, in my investment portfolio, and there's a wonderful report by Mark Matthews on Vietnam, and I've posted, Owen and I have posted the Vietnam chart on numerous occasions, so veteran subscribers will certainly be familiar with that. And I've mentioned that it's on my list, I mentioned that a while back, that I would be switching some of my investment funds, probably taking a little bit away from resources, although not my big three shares in that area, being Rio, BHP Billiton, and Inco. But I will probably take something away from the gold sector, not because I'm getting nervous about gold, far from it, but because I can play gold so effectively through the futures markets. I can't do that with Vietnam. So I will be investing in one or more of the three Vietnam funds that are listed in the chart library. And that will be a core position. I'm likely to forget about it. And I really do think Vietnam is a top candidate to be a 10-bagger, to use the vulgarism. If not over the next 5 years, within 10 years. And yes, bear in mind the Vietnam index has more than doubled this year, but you know, when you read the story and you look at the background, and I know you're at least partially familiar with this, that it's most likely barely out of the starting blocks. Okay, in terms of government bonds, I've already covered those, but rising yields will I think they've now gone from being initially a tailwind for stock markets as people fled bonds or drifted away from bonds and into equities. A number of people have been saying recently that as far as 10-year U.S. Treasuries were concerned, that they felt that the 5% yield might be a ceiling and a buying opportunity. I don't think anything of the kind. I think the only way we get a decent rally in this sector is if there is a frightening sell-off in global stock markets. Then you get a temporary rebound in government bond prices, decline in yields. I think what's more likely to be the case is that 5% for the 10-year U.S. Treasuries is more than likely to be the new floor area. So Thus my wish to remain short, but at this stage of the cycle, when there's likely to be a fair amount of choppy activity, I don't have huge positions. I have not insignificant positions, and I'm playing these tightly in terms of trailing stops. As far as the dollar is concerned, and this is interesting, I said I'd say a little bit more about this, but you know, I've maintained all along that the US dollar index peaked back in November, and I've maintained in recent months that we were seeing an overall ranging decline in the US dollar. I wasn't playing this very aggressively, playing it very, very lightly, because there was so much ranging activity. So, you know, it would be one of those things, it would take two little steps forward in terms of the dollar's decline, or two little steps downwards, and then get at least a step and three quarters rebound. So I've chosen to play it through precious metals and other commodities, but I am short the dollar against the euro, not that big a position, but the patterns continue to improve here overall. The dollar is deteriorating against most currencies, and I think this is a trend that, well, I forecast would continue, and I think that the pace of the trend is picking up. And if you look at the euro dollar chart, for instance, if you're looking at it in terms of the euro firming up against the US dollar, it looks like a small type 3, that's ranging time and size, base formation. And therefore, we're going into what could be now a more of a step sequence, smaller trading ranges, then a move up, get another small trading range, move up, that we often see in that second stage of a market advance. Third stage usually picks up pace and will go on and accelerate. So I think the dollar is going to be weaker here, but it is mainly down to Bernanke and Co. Now, what are they actually going to do? I mean, they have a choice. Let's take the two extremes. One choice is I could be completely wrong, because Bernanke is and Co. are determined to defend the dollar's purchasing power. Now, if they do that, then interest rates go up. They stop printing dollars. Both short-term and long-term interest rates go up in defense of the dollar. And that would hit bonds, it would hit stock markets hard, and it would no doubt roil some of the commodities. That's a euphemism for saying that it would push some of those down, even gold. And most importantly, as far as the U.S. economy is concerned, it would certainly be bearish for house prices. Now, so that's one extreme choice. Defend the dollar, raise interest rates, stop printing money, and I've just explained what the consequences of that would be in terms of markets. The other side is that the moment the stock market looks a little bit wobbly, and if bond prices, well, just stick with the stock markets, and it look a bit wobbly, Bernanke prints more money. And well, I go on and follow what I was going to start and saying, and if bond prices are too weak, the Fed prints even more and mops up some of the bonds themselves. And what they're doing by printing all that money is to engineer the dollar lower. Very easy to do. If you want to get your currency down, you just increase the supply. And you certainly don't raise interest rates any more than you have to just give a slight nod in the direction of containing inflation, which is calculated on bogus statistics anyway, but I don't want to try to, in terms of the CPI and the PPI, but I don't want to digress too much on that point, because I've been over it many times before. So in that case, if you get the Fed printing lots of money, not taking interest rates up much further, and perhaps even lowering interest rates a little bit if the stock market, say, corrects, Dow corrects by 10% or more, then we have an environment where a weak dollar offers support to the stock market. It cushions downside in the stock market, I should say. And commodities, and particularly precious metals, tend to perform very, very well against other assets. And we also see house prices staying reasonably firm overall. So stocks, house prices, commodities reasonably firm, bonds least likely to go up in that environment, but unless the government, as I said before, is actually, or the Fed is actually supporting them by through their own buying programs. Now, what do I think is actually going to happen? Well, I've maintained all along that the inflation genie was out of the bottle, and that the Fed, including Bernanke before he was Fed governor, have made it very clear in recent years that they were going to err on the side of inflation. They don't want to create rapid inflation, let alone hyperinflation, which some people are worried about. I do not think we're going to see hyperinflation at any time for the US economy, because that's a lose-lose. That's in no one's interests, and everyone knows what the consequences of that would be. It's not going to be necessary, but they are certainly going to err on the side of inflation more often than not. Now, you get choppy trends in stock markets and also in Fed policy. So if inflation picks up a little bit and asset prices are beginning to overheat, then we get tightening, as we've seen in the last year and a half or more. And when so a little bit of an attempt to prevent some of the or inflationary pressures from getting out of control. And then when asset prices start to weaken, particularly house prices, then they pump more in, always erring on the side of inflation. So I think that's what we're going to see overall, and that's a consistent view. I've said that really for some time, and I'll want to invest accordingly. So of the various different asset classes, I would say that industrial resources, industrial commodities are likely to outperform everything else in that environment. So gold is something that I would certainly want to hold. And if I were a dollar-denominated US-based investor, I would be moving, well, I would have almost no US investments other than my home. I certainly wouldn't want to own bonds. I'm short bonds. I'd be shifting, I would continue to shift as much money into overseas markets, particularly resources-based markets, and above all, first choice Asian markets, my first choice at any rate. And I would have a fair amount of gold. If you don't want to speculate, I would have the gold bullion funds. I would expect gold to outperform over time, over the next 5 to 10 years or more, on the basis of that more inflationary scenario that I've described. I would expect gold to outperform just about every other U.S. asset class, that is, bonds, the Dow Jones, and house prices. Now, come to think of it, from a sterling-denominated, a UK-based investor perspective, which is my own, that's exactly what I would do. And fortunately, that's exactly what I've been doing over the last 3 years or more, and will maintain that stance. Asia is where we're going to get the best growth overall, in my view. And I think that while the Asian stock markets won't always be the top performing ones, they haven't been, or they weren't last year. You had some of those Middle Eastern bubbles and so on doing better, and some of the South American markets had done better, but the Asian performances were very respectable, not least India, of course. And I think the valuations are better and safer in Asia, and so that's where I'm going to remain extremely overweight. And I better bring this to a wrap at this stage so that I don't go on too long for some of you, but no doubt more tomorrow. All the best.